All right. Hello, everyone, especially those of you navigating the IT challenges in higher education and our crucial partners, the solution providers out there.
Hi there.
We're diving straight into something that honestly needs your focus right now. It's this accelerating trend of end-of-life EOL announcements for on-prem software.
Yeah, it's not something way off in the future anymore, is it? It's happening now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And understanding what it means is, well, it's key.
Definitely. And our guide for this deep dive is a really insightful post we came across from Justin Menard over at Listed Tech. It's titled End-of-Life Announcements and the Inevitable Move to the Cloud.
Right. So our mission today is basically to pull out the crucial stuff from that piece.
Yeah, give you a clear picture of the landscape, what actions you might need to think about, you know, without drowning you in, like all the nitty-gritty details.
Okay, so a fundamental question to kick us off then.
Yeah.
Are you actively tracking the EOL announcements that could impact your institution's IT? Because if not, you might be in for a bit of a surprise down the line.
That's a great starting point. Because when a vendor says end of life for their on-prem software, what does it actually mean for a college or university?
What's the vendor signaling there?
From their perspective, it's pretty clear. It signals the end of that product's active life. No more updates, generally no new features, maybe no innovation.
And support starts to change too.
Right. Support can become limited or shift into what they often call maintenance mode. Justin's post mentions this too. It's like they'll fix critical bugs, maybe push essential regulatory updates.
But that's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And it's crucial to understand, as Justin points out, this maintenance mode. It's temporary. It's a fade out, not a permanent state.
Which, I mean, that puts institutions in a really tough spot, doesn't it?
It really does.
You're sort of stuck deciding, do we keep running this aging system or do we face the, frankly, sometimes huge effort of migrating?
Exactly. And IT leaders, solution providers, too, you need to see that maintenance mode for what it is. It's basically the starting gun for planning what comes next. You can't just, you know, sit tight indefinitely.
Okay, so this whole trend is pushing towards the cloud. Let's unpack that. Why the big push from vendors? What's in it for them?
Well, it's kind of a win-win from their side, yeah. Or at least they see it that way. They can streamline their own development. Yeah, makes sense, right? Focus resources.
Fewer platforms to manage?
Precisely. Plus, it shifts them to more predictable recurring revenue models, SaaS subscriptions, instead of big one-off license fees.
The subscription economy.
Yep, and beyond the money, they can often deliver better security, scalability, performance through a centralized cloud platform. Trying to do that across tons of different on-prem versions is messy.
Okay, so that's the vendor angle. What about for the institutions themselves? What are the compelling benefits driving them towards the cloud?
For higher ed, the cloud offers things that are really becoming essential. Flexibility, for one, being able to scale resources up or down.
And remote access, surely, that's huge now.
Absolutely critical. Remote access for staff, faculty, students, the cloud, and makes that much easier. And often, there are built-in compliance features that can be a massive help, taking some of that burden off the institution's IT team.
So it lines up. Vendors get easier management and predictable income. Institutions get potentially more flexibility, better access, maybe easier compliance.
That's the idea. It creates a scenario where both sides theoretically, gain something significant.
All right, that makes sense at the high level. Let's dive deeper into some of the specific platforms Justin Menard mentioned in the Listed Tech piece, starting with a big one, Ellucian Colleague and Banner.
Right, so with Ellucian, it's interesting. There's no, like, formal EOL announcement yet for on-prem Colleague or Banner. They're still supported.
Okay, so no immediate panic there.
Not immediate panic, no. But, and this is a big, but their strategy is very clearly cloud first.
Yeah.
You see it in their messaging, their events like Ellucian Live. Mm. The focus is overwhelmingly on their SaaS offerings.
Like Ellucian Experience Insights, those cloud products.
Exactly. Ellucian SaaS Experience Insights. That's where the innovation is happening. The investment, the new features. It strongly suggests that the on-prem versions, while supported, probably won't see many significant enhancements going forward.
So the takeaway then for IT teams or the solution providers working with schools still on, say, Banner on-prem, even without a deadline.
You need to be thinking strategically about an eventual move to SaaS.
It's about future-proofing, right? Not getting left behind when the vendor's focus is clearly elsewhere.
Precisely. Okay, next step. The Huron Your Research platform. This one's a bit different.
How so?
Well, the University of Michigan has actually announced they're sunsetting it. but not until 2031.
2031? That sounds miles away. Plenty of time.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? But it raises a really interesting point Justin touches on, why announce it so far in advance.
Good question. What does that signal?
It signals the complexity involved. Migrating core research infrastructure is a massive undertaking. The fact that a major player like you, Mitch, is already deep in transition planning years out tells you just how much lead time these things need.
Okay. So the lesson isn't relax. It's 2031. It's more like, wow, these big research system transitions are so complex, planning needs to start years ahead.
Exactly that. Proactive planning is essential, especially for these specialized complex systems. Don't let the long timeline fool you.
Got it. All right, moving on. Microsoft Dynamics GP. This sounds more definitive.
Much more definitive, yes. Microsoft has put dates out there. Mainstream support, updates beyond the real basics like tax, regulatory critical bugs, that ends December 31st, 2029.
Okay, 2029 for future updates stopping.
Right, and then extended security patches continue only until April 30th, 2031. And crucially, Microsoft has stated no new features for on-prem GP. Period.
So for anyone in higher ed running Dynamics GP, this isn't a maybe. Migration isn't just recommended.
It's becoming a necessity. You risk being stuck on a platform that just isn't evolving anymore and eventually won't even get security fixes.
Okay, clear message there. Now, Oracle PeopleSoft, what's the story? It's another big one in higher ed.
PeopleSoft is a slightly different kettle of fish. Oracle has publicly committed to supporting it on a rolling 10-year window. Right now, that means support is guaranteed at least through 2036.
2036. That sounds pretty reassuring on the surface, long-term stability.
It does offer a sense of stability, yes. But, and again, there's often a, but when you look deeper.
That's the catch this time.
You have to look at Oracle's broader strategy. Well, check out their higher education webpage. What do they push front and center?
Let me guess. Oracle Cloud.
Oracle Cloud Student. Absolutely. PeopleSoft. It's there, but you kind of have to dig for details about its future. It's definitely not the star of the show anymore in their marketing and strategic direction.
So even with the 2036 support promise, the writing's kind of on the wall. Their focus is cloud.
It strongly suggests that yes. So the takeaway for institutions on PeopleSoft or the providers supporting them isn't necessarily panic, but rather use this extended support window wisely.
Meaning
carefully evaluate your future options. Does staying purely on-prem PeopleSoft align with your long-term institutional goals? Especially when Oracle's own development energy is clearly flowing towards the cloud, it warrants serious strategic thought.
Right, makes sense. Next on the list, Power Campus. Justin's post mentions rumors here.
Yes, this is interesting. Unlike the others with firm dates or clear cloud-first strategies, with Power Campus there seems to be a lot of, well, chatter. Rumors circulating about a potential EOL.
That uncertainty must be difficult for schools using it.
It definitely creates ambiguity. But what Justin notes is that even without a formal Ellucian announcement, this persistent talk strongly suggests Power Campus is likely heading towards, or maybe already in, a maintenance-only phase.
So fewer updates, just keeping the lights on, basically.
Pretty much. Critical fixes only, no real evolution.
So for IT leaders or providers dealing with Power Campus, the advice isn't wait and see.
No, definitely not. The prudent move, given these strong indicators, is to start contingency planning now. Begin exploring alternatives, even if nothing's official yet. Be prepared.
Preparedness is key. Okay, how about power fades? Sounds like there's a bit of a story there, too.
Yeah, power fades has had a bit of a bumpy road recently. The original plan was actually to EOL the on-prem version back in 2025.
So, quite soon, what happened?
Well, it seems the migration path, the move to PowerFades Cloud, ran into some significant implementation challenges, hurdles, delays.
The reality of complex migrations sometimes.
Exactly. So that likely forced a delay. The expectation now, according to the Post, is that the on-prem EOL might be pushed out to around 2027.
A temporary reprieve then, but not a change in direction?
Not at all. And Justin makes a really salient point here. Long term, does it even make sense to keep your financial aid system on premises if your main student information system, SIS, is moving or has moved to the cloud?
Probably not. Integration headaches, data silos.
Right. It becomes technically and strategically awkward, maybe even unsustainable. So even with the delay, the move to the cloud for power fades seems pretty much inevitable.
Okay. Finally, let's talk about Unit 4. Their on-prem ERP, financials MyCoda, FP&A, this sounds like the most immediate one.
It absolutely is. The EOL date for all Unit 4 on-premise products is confirmed, December 31st, 2024.
Wow, okay, that's very soon. end of this year.
Extremely soon. The critical point here, though, for institutions still running these systems, is that Unifor is offering a defined migration path to their SaaS versions.
And providing support during that transition.
Yes. Full support is available until that deadline. But the clock is ticking fast.
So the takeaway for any college or university using Unifor on-prem is stark. Immediate action needed, like yesterday. Plan and execute that migration now.
Absolutely urgent. No time to waste there.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground on specific platforms. Given this whole shifting landscape, these accelerating EOLs, what are the concrete steps IT professionals and maybe the solution providers supporting them should be taking right now?
Yeah, this is the crucial so what do I do part.
Exactly. Actionable advice.
First and foremost, echoing Justin Menard's point, audit your IT portfolio. Seriously. You absolutely need to know what on-prem systems you have, who the vendor is, and what their current support status or roadmap looks like.
Makes sense. You can't plan if you don't know what you're dealing with. Step one, inventory and status check. What's next?
Step two, as you evaluate replacements or migrations, consciously factor in cloud readiness. Don't just look for a cloud version of what you had. Think bigger.
How so?
Think about the advantages the cloud offers. Can you improve security? Can you get better integrations between systems? Will it improve user access, especially remotely? How does it help with compliance burdens? Use this as an opportunity, not just a forced replacement.
Good point. Opportunity knocks, even if it's driven by an EOL. And third.
Third, and this is critical, plan for the total cost of ownership, or TCO.
Not just the sticker price of the new software license.
Exactly. Don't get blinded by the initial license cost, whether it's subscription or otherwise. You need to factor in ongoing support costs, potential costs for bolt-on applications or necessary integrations.
Training costs, implementation services.
All of that. And maybe the most overlooked part, consider the opportunity cost or even the risk cost of staying on an aging, unsupported on-prem system. What capabilities are you missing out on? What security risks are you accepting?
Right. The cost of inaction can be significant, too.
It absolutely can. TCO analysis needs to be comprehensive.
Okay, so to kind of wrap up the main discussion here, the core message seems unavoidable, doesn't it? This move to the cloud in higher ed, pushed hard by these vendor EOL announcements. It's not a future hypothetical.
Not at all. It's the current reality. It's happening now, and the pace seems to be picking up. These EOL notices aren't just technical footnotes. They are major strategic signals.
Signals demanding action.
Demanding proactive planning, strategic thinking, and for most, a decisive shift towards cloud solutions. That's the direction the industry is moving.
And for everyone listening, the IT leaders in our institutions are vital solution provider partners staying on top of these trends, understanding the implications, and acting decisively. It's not just good IT management anymore.
No, it's really becoming fundamental to the stability, the security, and frankly, the future success and competitiveness of our colleges and universities.
So let's leave our listeners with something to chew on, a final thought building on this.
Okay. How about this? Given everything we've discussed, this accelerating wave of end-of-life announcements, what would you say is the single most vulnerable on-premises system currently running at your institution? Identify it. And then what's your immediate, even if it's just preliminary, plan for its future?
Or perhaps for our solution providers listening, how are you proactively bringing these EOL conversations to your higher ed clients? How are you helping them navigate these transitions to ensure it's a smooth, strategic migration, not just a last-minute scramble?
Yeah, those are the kinds of critical questions everyone involved needs to be asking themselves right now.